The reading this morning is from 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Good morning. Hope you had a great week. I was a little down this past week. I got sick there Wednesday and Thursday. Appreciate Billy Sweeney for filling in for me on Wednesday night. I'm almost 100% now. I've had to really watch my voice here. And no, I did not infect my wife or my daughter. I can pat myself on the back for that. They're actually gone on their annual shopping trip for Bethany's side of the family. And so she's in Nashville this morning with her family. So, in other words, potluck could have not come at a better time for me. I hope you will stay for our potluck, enjoy fellowship with each other, as well as our afternoon service at 1 o'clock. I thought love was more or less a giving thing. The more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I wanted sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love, and I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I think this song that's been covered by so many bands, I think it accurately portrays how society often views love. That love is not about giving, but it's about getting. And that love is all about a feeling that we feel inside. So this guy says, I kept trying to give and give. I thought that's what love was giving to other people. But all I got was pain in return. But then when I saw her, when I saw that woman for the first time, that love at first sight, that feeling within him made him commit to her and says, I couldn't leave her even if I tried. So often our society views love as this feeling. It's something that we get from someone else. I would imagine if you asked most people if you love someone romantically, they would either answer yes or no based upon a feeling that they have inside. Now the problem with this and the difficulty that comes with viewing love this way, especially in relationship to the Scripture, is that we as Christians are required to love one another in order to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That is a requirement of us. It is not optional to love one another within the body of Christ, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we see this reiterated throughout the book of 1 John. There in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. In him there is no cause for stumbling. Then in chapter 3 and verse 11, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then the opposite of that, later on, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And then finally in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Time and again it says that we have to love one another. And if we don't love one another, it says here that we're walking in darkness, we don't have fellowship with God. It says that we are not a child of God. And also says that we do not have eternal life abiding within us. So we definitely want to love one another, right? Absolutely. That's what God wants us to do. But there's some problems when we look at that love and believe that that love is about a feeling. That it's all about what you feel in your heart. Because I think for us, from time to time, realize when we're honest with ourselves that we don't always have good feelings towards every single person. That for some people, just it's so hard for us to muster up some warm and fuzzy feeling towards them. Maybe it's something that happened in the past. Maybe it's just a difference in personalities. Maybe it's just a difference in priorities in life, or you just don't see eye to eye on something. But for some people, it's just hard for us to have that warm and fuzzy, loving feeling towards that person. And because we acknowledge that, because we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we are uncertain about our salvation. We're uncertain about our fellowship with God because we don't feel like we are loving one another. A story I heard here recently, a preacher preached about loving one another, and afterwards, an elderly woman came to him and says, "Can you come over to my house afterwards and talk to me? I have something to tell you." So the preacher came over, and the elderly lady said, I just have to tell you, I hate someone in our congregation, and I think I'm going to hell because of it." And the preacher kind of processed this, and then he asked her, kind of figuring out what she was meaning by hate. He asked her, "What do you mean you hate him?" And she says, "Oh, I just can't have that feeling towards him of any goodwill. I just don't think the decisions that he is making here recently have been good, and I just can't stand to be around him." And so because she had that feeling, she thought her eternity was in jeopardy. And we'll come back to that story later, but I think that shows us so often, if we don't feel like we love everyone with this loving, warm, and fuzzy feeling, we feel like our salvation is in peril. Also, another problem that comes from viewing love as a feeling is we think that good feelings are enough, that as long as we have a general goodwill towards other people, we can just check that out off on our list. We don't have to do any more. We love one another. We've got our salvation sealed. We are in fellowship with God. However, what we find in the Scriptures is that love is much more than a feeling. We see time and again in 1 John where we see the action that God took for us to show us and to define for us what love is. See, God is love. And since He is love, He has the right to define what love truly is. What we see here in 1 John is that He defines love as something that we do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. "By this we know love, that He laid His life down for us." Then in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, "In this the love of God was made manifest. It was revealed to us that God sent His Son, His only Son, into the world so that we might live through Him." And then finally back in chapter 3 and verse 1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Here, this last verse, some of the translations say, "Behold, see, behold." I saw one paraphrase this week. It says, "Just look at it. Admire the kind of love the Father has given to us." We need to focus on that love and see what kind of love that truly is. What we find with God's love is that He has made us children of God. That even though we were wicked and rebellious and sinful and did many things against God's name, that He still took us in. We became His son. We became His daughter. He adopted us into His family. Now, I don't know about you, but I would imagine most people who want to adopt a child, they want to have a baby, right? They want to adopt a baby. They want a clean slate so that they can influence that child for the entirety of their life. I don't think there's ever been a case someone has gone to an adoption agency and say, "Give me the most wicked, most rebellious kid that you got. Bring it on, right? I don't think anyone's ever done that. But that's essentially what God did for us. That while we were yet sinners, He died for us. See, God's love for us is so amazing that we, as it says in Romans chapter 5, we were enemies of God. How many people would die for their enemies? We can see throughout the scripture there are many times God gets frustrated with His people. Many times that He gets angry and jealous for His people. There are times where God does not have a great feeling towards us because of our rebellion. But even though He might have those negative reactions to us, these feelings that we would not say is very loving, He shows His love to us by sending His Son to die for us. And for Jesus to lay His life down willingly to die for us on the cross. Here we see in God that even despite the feelings He might have towards us as rebellious and wicked people, that He still has this willingness to act on our behalf for our own good. And so what we see here with the Father's love is something that we need to admire. It is something that we need to behold day by day to see the kind of love the Father has given to us. And I think what we just did with the Lord's Supper and what we do every single week is that we are beholding and looking at that kind of love and truly appreciating what God has done for us, as Jesse said, for us to be saved, even though that we're sinners. That is such a valuable thing, and we need to reflect on that. The kind of love that God has for us. But we don't just need to reflect on it to give thanks to God, but we need to reflect on it because we have to live with that kind of love as well. See, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, right after it says, Jesus laid His life down for us, it says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Now, I'm going to give you some permission here to do something weird. Just look around the auditorium here for a few seconds. Just look around. You have permission. And ask yourself the question, would you lay your life down for Him? Would you lay your life down for her? Would you do it? Romans chapter 5 says very rarely, scarcely, will a person die for a righteous person. Maybe someone would dare to die for a good person. What we find here, 1 John 3:16, is we are to lay our life down for the brothers and sisters that we have in Jesus Christ. So would you do it? Would you die to protect and to save every single person in this room? It wasn't too long ago, maybe a month and a half ago, that there was a shooting in a Church of Christ near Nashville at the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ. And one person died in the shooting. About seven or eight also were wounded by this crazed man. But there was a 22-year-old man, Caleb Engel, who stepped up. He confronted the man, and in the midst of being confronted by the man, he was pistol whipped, but he kept fighting, and through that scuffle, the shooter shot himself, giving Caleb enough time to go out to his car, grab his pistol, come back in, and hold the guy at bay until the police came. But this 22-year-old boy, right, he stood between the shooter and the congregation. What he was doing was this. He was laying his life down for the brothers. It's amazing, isn't it? Would you do that? You know, often when people do things like that, we call them heroes. They usually interview the person and say, wow, people are calling you heroes. What do you think about that? And the person so many times says, oh, I'm no hero, right? And the reason they say that is because they were not doing that to be heroic. They were not doing that to get something for themselves. They were doing that to give of themselves. They weren't thinking of themselves in the first place. And that is really what it's about. This love, the kind of love that the Father has for us, is not thinking of our own interests, but putting others' interests before our own. We see that God did that for us through Jesus Christ. Now, I was told about this shooting that this was on the marquee that day. I'm not sure if that's 100% sure, but it applies so much to the situation. It's from John 15, verse 13. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." That's the love that we're talking about. The love that God wants us to have, and the love that we have to have in order to have eternal life abiding in us, and to have fellowship with our God. Now, for most of us, we'll never get to that point where we actually have to physically lay our lives down for the brothers. There might not be a time that we sacrifice our life in that way, but regardless of that, we can still have the same kind of love the Father has for us. We see many times in Scripture where people teach about love. And in those contexts, it gives us everyday things that we can do to love one another. For instance, in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37, we see Jesus teaching about loving our neighbor as ourself. And in that context, he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. In that context, he tells about how this man, despite his racial and his religious differences from this man that was half dead, that he took care of him. He was inconvenienced to care for this man, but he bandaged his wounds. He showed him great hospitality. And he gave of his money for that man. He cared for him. He served this man. Despite their differences, he showed love. Love to this man he didn't even know. Then in John chapter 13, in verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, and you are to love one another just as I have loved you." And this comes right after Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He shows us a great example of humbly serving other people. And to note, I think it's a worthy thing to note, is that he even washed Judas's feet. He even washed his betrayer's feet. And that's a perfect example, I think, for us, that we don't always have to have this warm, fuzzy feeling towards people when we love them. But the question is, will we serve them despite those feelings that we might have? And then here in our text in 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18, verse 16 is where he says that Jesus laid his life down for us. Then he says after this, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." He says, don't just talk about loving people. Actually do it. If you see someone that is in need of the basic necessities of life and you have the possibility of giving it to them, and you refuse to do that, you do not have God's love abiding within you. Going back to our story about the preacher that was with this elderly lady, he continued to ask questions to her after she admitted she didn't have the best of feelings towards him. And he said, "Well, let me ask you, if you knew this man was about to starve, I mean, he was on, you know, that last hour, that if he didn't get food in that period of time, he would die, would you go and take him food?" The woman said, "Yeah, of course I would." He said, "Well, let's just say this man was homeless and he needed a place to stay for the night. Would you open up your home or put him up in a hotel? Would you do that?" And the woman said, "Yeah, I would do that." Because if he didn't have any clothes and you wanted to to put some clothes on his back. He needed some clothes on his back. Would you do that? And she said, yes, I would do that. And what the preacher then said was, you don't hate this man. In fact, you actually love him. And what he was getting at is it's not about how we feel towards other people all the time. It's about how you act towards them. Are you showing love through your actions? Many of you maybe read the blog, RadicallyChristian.com by Wes McAdams, but he had this on his Twitter page this past week, and he said this, the Bible doesn't describe what love feels like, but what love looks like, and it looks like serving others. That's so true. That's so true. If we want to have love for other people, we have to have that love that sees them in their time of need and sacrifices of ourselves, denies ourselves, lays down our life figuratively for that person to care for them in their time of need. And so we all can love one another on a daily basis by caring for each other in our time of need. Now, I feel like I need to have this slide in this section because I've been talking a lot about feelings, and it's not about how you feel. I think it's important for us, as a side note, to remember that this is not permission for us to have bitterness or resentment towards other people within the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. He says, put away that bitterness in your heart. Put away that resentfulness. We are not to have resent towards other people. So our feelings do matter. But at the same time, we are commanded to love one another, not like one another. Think about your own family. You love your family, right? You don't always like your family. There are times that someone just drives you up the wall. It's hard to be in the same room with that person. They drive you bonkers. There's some times that your family is going to get on your nerves, but if they had a need, you serve them, right? You care for them. You sacrifice for them. That is the same within the body of Christ, the family of God. It's that we might not always like each other all the time. At the same time, we are to love and to serve people, no matter what, no matter how we might feel towards them, to do it with surrender and sacrifice and self-denial. So as we think about this lesson, I want you to ask this question throughout your week. Look at your actions and ask yourself, am I loving towards my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there evidence in my life that when I see a need, my brother and sister in Christ, that I actually go and meet that need, no matter how much it costs me? I want you to ask yourself, is there evidence in your life that you love one another? Now, I believe that maybe the biggest barrier that we have in our day and time to loving one another is that we don't spend enough time with one another. That we don't have a deep enough fellowship with one another that we can actually see those needs that people have in order to serve them. Let me just say this. 1 hour on Sunday morning is not enough. It's not enough to be a family. It's not enough to know each other's needs. It's not enough to serve people unconditionally. So I think we need to understand it takes time in order for us to truly and genuinely love and serve one another like Christ. It takes time. I think some of the most valuable time that we have within the church is before and after Bible classes and or worship services, the times that we have fellowship meals with one another, the times that we get to serve with one another, like at feeding the flock. We get to serve alongside each other and minister to one another, to get to know each other's heartaches, their burdens, their needs, and how we then can go and selflessly serve them through the love of Jesus Christ. It takes time. It takes time for people to know your needs. It takes time for people to be able to serve your needs. I know we've lost people in the past who've come just for Sunday morning worship. They come in a little late and they leave in a hurry afterwards. And they've left the church because no one was showing care and concern for them. They weren't showing love to them. Now, it's still our responsibility to reach out to every single person. I'm not trying to say that the church is blameless when that happens. But I'm saying is that in order for us to serve and love you, we've got to get to know you. So we need to all dedicate and devote ourselves to being around each other so that we can love and serve each other just like Christ loved and served us. Yet at the same time, for our own faith, we need to be around each other so we can love and serve one another. It made it pretty clear there in John that if we don't love one another, that we don't have eternal life, that we don't have fellowship with God. We're not walking in the light. So often, I don't think our fellowship is deep enough. I don't think it's deep enough for us to genuinely love and serve one another. So it's our responsibility to get involved in each other's lives so that we can have that love towards one another, that we can practice that love that we see in Jesus Christ. So as you're asking yourself the question, are you loving towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? Also ask yourself, is your fellowship deep enough with each other that you can love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you spend enough time to know each other's needs so that you can show the love of Christ to other people? I hope you will humbly ask these questions of ourselves so that we can have eternal life abiding in us, so that we can walk in God's light, but also so that we can be like Jesus in the world and love and serve other people just as he loved and served us, even being willing to die for us in our sins. I hope that we can have that love, maybe despite our feelings at times, that love that is unconditional, that is sacrificial, it requires much self-denial. It requires us to give of ourselves, even if we get only pain in return, to give of ourselves, because that's what Jesus did for us. Let's pray together. Dear God, our Father, we are grateful that you, in your divine wisdom and your divine love, sent Jesus to die for us, so that we can become children of God. We're so thankful for the example of Jesus to come and willingly lay his life down for us. Help us, Lord, to be in awe of that sacrifice and that love. And help us, Lord, also to have that love towards one another. Help us, Lord, invest our lives in the lives of other people in this church. Help us to invest our time and our effort, our possessions, everything, so that we can serve other people and love them like you love us. Help us, Lord, to be loving, more loving each day. Help that to be seen in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning you have heard the gospel story, how Jesus came to earth because of the love of God to die on the cross for our sins. And maybe you need to respond to that love this morning, to respond by putting Christ on in baptism, or maybe to respond by loving other people more like Christ loved you. Maybe you need to respond this morning. We'd love to help you in any way. Please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.